I've had an interest in growing things. My doctoral research was on raising larval fish. And so when I came back here, without much to do, I became interested a little bit in gardens. And my first wife, who is now passed on, would do some gardening. And it was mostly flowers, but it was simple stuff. 2 years before she died, she started growing two dahlia tubers. Literally, the morning that she passed away, she was in the emergency room in Boston. I drove back here around 1 in the morning. I was kind of stir crazy. What do I do, you know? I mean, it's a very intense moment. And for reasons that were not as romantic as they sound, I ran into her two clutches of dahlia tubers. And I literally planted them in the backyard of the guest house where there really wasn't enough sun and grew them that year. It got me started. It has just spun since then.
If you decide you want to grow dahlias, you kind of have to be committed. The easiest way to grow a dahlia is to go to the store and buy a tuber and put it in the ground in May. And you can do that. But if you really get into it, you find that you want more than that.
A lot of the tubers I have come from those early years when I made cuttings in people's gardens. I made the cuttings in the fall. I went so far as to wear dark clothing. I would scope out plants by walking along Commercial Street. There were a few dahlias there. The first cutting that I succeeded on was called Arabian Night. It's almost a black dahlia. And I snuck around with scissors and made the cuttings and succeeded in getting it to live.
He jokes about it, and I think he mostly gets permission, but I always call him the stealth cutter. I grew up gardening with my family in northern Vermont, and gardening never included flowers for me that much because we just always had vegetables. When I first came to Provincetown, when Stormy and I first started dating over 10 years ago, it was the winter, and the front yard looked ridiculous. There were sticks laying on the ground everywhere, and there was black tarp, and there was a bunch of dead plants, and I was like, what is this? I went into the house, and there on this beautiful dining room table was a blue tarp and more dirt than you could imagine. And I thought to myself, oh, I could never live with this. I was thinking, well, I've got to help him with this because clearly this is a lot of work. And then I realized he had a basement. I'm like, why aren't you doing this in the basement? So we carved out a little area, and over the past 9 years, basically, it's become the dahlia workstation, and it's very, very functional. And we can eat upstairs in the dining room without dirt on the table. The dahlias were always abundant, but this year is definitely a corker. My husband is extremely good at propagating things, and so he just went nuts. Over the past couple of years, I've been making bouquets, sticking dahlias in old vodka bottles from the Muse. And just putting them on the fence for people to take. People make donations. And this year, Stormy felt really strongly about conveying our thanks to everyone who was buying these dahlias because it has allowed us to really invest in the gardens. And so he wrote up a little script and I wrote it out on a big piece of wood. And we stuck that out there by the street so people can know that we just love that they love it. It makes us feel so good. And their contributions create the color. People have a certain idea of how dahlias are grown. They can be so formal, they can be so beautifully perfect. Whereas the dahlia gardens that we have are a little bit less tended, a little bit less tamed, but the end result of our slight neglect is a profusion of color. Well, we actually have like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 gardens or 7 gardens, but the two primary gardens by the house are definitely wild. I think that's the biggest virtue of the gardens, actually, is that you can get lost in them and you just are surrounded by plants that are taller than you, flowers that are just every color. This time of year, for about 3 or 4 months, I look forward to every morning when I wake up. I actually wake up extra early for those 4 months because I want to get outside. I want to just play in the garden before the day starts. I have really small clippers that are sharp, and I go out and I do all my deadheading. And I just see what has bloomed overnight or whatever. And I do it every day. There's always something new. And it may not be that it's a flower. It may be that you find a toad in one of the flowers, or you see the bees working on these flowers. It is fantastic. And the monarchs, the other butterflies, the tiger swallowtails. There's just so much life in these gardens.
After the first really dense frost, the dahlia tops are killed. All the beautiful stuff you see, all of a sudden, by noon of the next day after a frost, everything is black. It feels like the harbinger of winter, sort of Game of Thrones, winter is coming. And then I dig the tubers, and I dig those with a lot of help usually. Not always. A lot of people love these dahlias, and we give them tubers in return for them digging.
That's like a all hands on deck event. It's usually around Christmas by the time we get to it. We can dig one garden probably in a day. So it would take like a week to dig them all.
It's a big operation because this year it's going to be huge because we've increased the size of everything. We're more at a commercial level than we ought to be. And it's all for fun. But we'll have, I guess, we should have around 900 tuber balls. And those are big. There may be a foot in diameter, and there may be 30 tubers looking like elongate sweet potatoes in each one. Let's say there are something on the order of maybe 20,000 tubers. I don't count them. But, you know, I'm a bit obsessive. Before the dahlias, or while the dahlias were coming into place, I was obsessing on building a schooner. It was a 30-some-year obsession. In life, I think one of the wonders is when you've got an obsessive passion that keeps you sane. One of my obsessions is right whales, and it actually now keeps me alive so I can be obsessive about schooners and dahlias. The whales do carry this unbelievable mystery. We do not understand what goes on with these animals. I have more access now to North Atlantic right whales as anybody on Earth, because they come here in the greatest numbers. I can say genuinely, they are an absolute mystery. Where do they mate? We don't know. Where are most of them right now? Such a rare animal, everybody wants to know and try to protect them. Right now, there may be 50 or 60 right whales that are being looked at. That means there are 340 somewhere out there in unprotected waters, and we have no idea where they are. If you don't know where something rare is, you probably don't know much about it. So that mystery is a powerful draw for me. And I think there is mystery in dahlias. When a shoot pops free, there's a discovery. There are probably 15 cultivars that I've been working on and have not yet bloomed. There will be a discovery in the next few days of some of those blooms. Of course, I spend most of my time not in the gardens, but in my cellar in the middle of the winter. That's where the work really happens. I put the tubers in trays with sediment over them, maybe 20 different types in one of these wooden trays that I've built. And then I go through a whole winter of watering them. What I'm trying to do is to get them to send out shoots much earlier than they would normally. I tell them, basically, it's spring when it isn't spring, and they put out shoots. I think I gain a little bit of time, but I got a feeling the reason I do it that way is because it really is fun. Because of COVID, I didn't have much else to do. I spent hours in my cellar, and the amount of labeling that's involved is huge. And learning how to label and what labels work, there are all these little ridiculous things that only a fanatic could possibly do.